Welcome to Stories from the First Watch. This is both a solo game and an experiment in storytelling. The story and the character's actions will unfold upon the roll of the dice. Once the game starts, nothing is predetermined. The dice are in control. Last time on Stories from the First Watch. Having discovered the whereabouts of the captured villagers from Hollow Hill, in an old dwarven chapel converted into cells, the party are faced with the horror of an enchanted living statue. It is a construct that has been brought to life by dark magics to act as an alarm signal, warning the dungeon's denizens that intruders are afoot. The statue attacks the party members with ferocity, blasting them with molten rock from its fingertips. After failing to harm the statue with a flaming brazier, Longo takes the full force of its terrible weaponry and is killed outright. The remaining party members, horrified, combine to overwhelm the statue, gradually wearing it down until the magic binding it together fails and it collapses in a pile of stone onto the floor. The party are now left with the horrible realization that Longo is dead. Maccus, his good friend, is utterly bereft as Mara tries to comfort him. Narvi says a dwarven prayer over the militiaman's body, and Elmanda, his sword shattered after destroying the statue, takes a scimitar that had been placed on the chapel's altar and which Mara had discovered using her detect magic spell. Killia, meanwhile, turns her attention back to the prisoners, who had been cowering in the cell. Just before she can attempt to pick the cell's lock, however, the party are ambushed by Druk's band of goblins, who have finally caught up with them after days of pursuit. The focus pulls back from the action to instead settle on the behind-the-scenes character creation of Master Lucan, the first major antagonist of Stories from the First Watch. His stats are rolled up to reflect his role as a dark cleric, a homebrewed combination of cleric and necromantic magic user. We then go back in time to learn Lucan's origins as a humble shepherd boy in the village of Alderbrook. He encounters a wild hedge wizard and learns his ways. After accidentally summoning a demon, whose presence still haunts his mind, Lucan is cast out by the wizard and, after years of wandering the wilderness, eventually travels to the city of Balladurn, known for its tolerance of all kinds of factions, religions, and cults. Here, he becomes a member of the notorious Death Cult, the Cohort of Paha. Developing his power, Lucan flourishes in the Cohort, but it is then scattered by the city guard, acting upon the advice of an informer. Lucan flees, and begins to rebuild his power in the ancient halls of Caramund, where he allies with goblins and the remnants of the Cohort, to begin hunting people for his twisted experiments. Now, we will return to the party who, battle-weary and outnumbered, may be in serious peril. Day 6. Afternoon. Killia, 5 of 7 hit points. Elmanda, 12 of 14 hit points. Narvi, 6 of 12 hit points. Mara, 8 of 8 hit points. Maccus, 8 of 8 hit points. Spells available. Mara has used shield and detect magic, and now only has read magic available. Narvi has used cure light wounds, and will need to pray to Ghazan to use it again. An evil, spittle-flecked grin spread across Druk's craggy face.
"Now we have you, human scum!"
he snarled in broken common. His fellow creatures hissed and shrieked triumphantly, There were over twice as many of the goblins as the party members, who drew back into a huddle. Elmander, Narvi, and Makkus raised their weapons, and Killian knocked an arrow to her bow. Mara gripped her wooden gnome dagger tightly. None of them felt they were going to get out of this situation alive, but they were prepared to sell their lives dearly. Mara felt her heart thudding in her chest as the demonic creatures advanced. She had not expected this to be her fate when she was bored and directionless in the sun-drenched islands of Tivolia. She had imagined herself as a mighty mage, harnessing the power of magic to the benefit of her people. Instead, she was about to die in a dank dwarven ruin, impaled upon a rusty goblin blade. So be it. There was a commotion in the tunnel behind them. The goblins halted and turned, puzzled. A troop of cohort cultists burst out of the darkness, swords drawn. Their captain, a sinewy man with a pointed grey beard, levelled his weapon in the direction of the goblins, and spoke a series of guttural syllables which the party realised was the goblin tongue. The goblins responded with outrage, snarling vehemently back.
"Quiet!"
the man said with authority, this time in common. Something about his manner seemed to intimidate the goblins, and they backed off slightly, while still baring their teeth like rabid dogs.
"These are the troublemakers that Giona told us about,"
continued the captain.
"The master wants to meet them, to find out why they are meddling in his plans. He is curious, wants to interrogate them before they become his new experiments. These ones are not for you to play with, Druk."
The hobgoblin looked furious at his authority being questioned, yet he held his counsel for now. The man looked at the party again, and his gaze caught Elmander's.
"Well, well. Elmander of Nordkirk. What an interesting way to renew your acquaintance."
Elmander glared back defiantly. "Get stuffed, Bargeld," he spat back.
"So, you do recognise me. Maybe when Lucan is done with you, the lady will take what's left. You and her have unfinished business, I hear. She's most unhappy."
"She won't get the chance, not after I take your head and send this so-called Master Lucan back into the hell pit that spawned him."
Bargeld laughed.
"Ha! You still have spirit, I see. Boys, take the weapons of this peacock and his friends and we'll bring them to the master."
Behind the scenes. I felt that the party, having been involved in many combats since they entered Caramond, would be exhausted and downcast after the death of Longo. It seemed unlikely they would want to fight a band of goblins twice their number. I had difficulty envisaging what would happen next, so I decided to consult the Mythic GM emulator. I rolled 100, change, and 8, enemy, change enemy. I interpreted this as the introduction of another enemy faction into play, playing on the existing tensions between the bandits of the Cohort of Paha and the goblin mercenaries. I felt that neither faction would want the other to have the honour of capturing the party members. Given that Elmander has unfinished business with the cohorts, I felt it would be interesting to see if he had previously encountered Captain Bargeld. I represented this by rolling a charisma check for Elmander, who passed, and therefore attracted Bargeld's attention. I felt this may be interpreted by the furious goblins, unused to human interactions, as comradeship. Therefore, having originally intended to roll on a 50-50 chance of the goblins and the bandits coming to blows, I decided to increase this chance to likely, meaning there's an 85% chance of this happening. Rolling on a D100, 25. As expected, the goblins are not going to take this slight lightly. Let's see how this plays out. Day 6, Part 2. The party were forced at Swordpoint to drop their weapons, which were collected by the bandits. The grim, silent men tied their hands behind their backs and placed gags over each of their mouths.
"Now take them to Master Lucan,"
Bargeld barked.
"No!"
Druk's bellow echoed sharply around the room, causing the bandits to start, many of them putting their hands on the hilt of their swords. In turn, the goblins bared their fangs and their hisses and shrieks started up again, increasing in volume, and they started to stomp their feet, beginning their species war dance.
"Stop this, Druk!"
Bargeld ordered harshly.
"You cannot come back from this. If you attack us, we will slaughter your tribe, and the master will use your bodies for his puppetry."
Druk responded with an invective of guttural goblin curse words, spittle flying from his maw. The goblins hissed louder, and suddenly swarmed at the bandits, who reacted quickly and drew their swords. All thought of escorting the party forgotten. The room once again became a blur of combat, bodies flying through the air.
Entering combat.
This fight is going to be very different from any that have come before. Not only are the party not involved, they will have very limited opportunity to influence the fight either way. Another factor is the sheer number of combatants. As there are a total of 16, I will not play through the combat in the normal way, as this may well take two or more episodes to cover. Instead, each round, I will roll initiative in the normal way, but the winners will then roll a d20 to see if they hit. If they do, then they will slay one or two of the enemy combatants, based on a high-low roll on a d6. 1-3 is one death, 4-6 is two. Each round, I will also roll a strength check for one of the party, chosen at random. If they pass, they can escape from their bonds and try to do something to influence the combat. Finally, I'm now going to roll a d6, and I'll explain this roll later. Okay, interesting. Let's play through this very unusual battle and see what happens. Round 1, initiative. The goblins, 1. The bandits, 6. The bandits win initiative and press back against the onrushing creatures, rolling a d20 for their attack. 3. The ferocity of the goblin attack means the bandits can't find a weak point to exploit. Rolling a d6 for party members. 1 is Kilia, 2 Almanda, 3 Narvi, 4 Mara, 5 Macus, 6 would have been Longo, but alas, I will now have to roll again. 2. Almanda. Strength check 10 is not enough. Round 2. Initiative. The goblins. 1. The bandits. 3. Again, the bandits are too skillful for the goblins and push them back. Rolling a d20. A 16 is a hit. Rolling high-low on a d6. 4. One of the bandits swings his sword in a great arc and slashes the throat of a goblin, which sinks to its knees, gurgling. Bargeld stabs his sword forward and impales another, who dies instantly. Rolling for the party members. 3. That's Narvi. Testing his strength. Only a 2. Nowhere near enough. Round 3. Initiative. The goblins. 5. The bandits. 2. This time, despite their losses, the goblins surge forward, wanting to avenge their fallen. Rolling a d20 for their attack. 17 is a hit. Rolling high-low. 3. Druk, high on bloodlust, plunges his axe into the belly of a bandit, spilling the man's guts down his knees. Rolling for the party. 2. Kilia, checking her strength. 16 just succeeds. Kilia manages to wriggle free of her bonds. Thinking quickly, she rushes towards the villagers with a view to freeing them. She hurriedly fumbles at the locks with her tools, hidden from the bandits. Rolling her pick lock skill on a d100. 85. That's a fail. She can't work the lock, and in addition she is spotted by the nearest bandit, who shouts and attempts to extricate himself from the combat before being dragged back in. Round 4. Initiative. The Goblins. 5. The Bandits. 3. The Goblins seem to be gaining back the momentum in this combat. Rolling their attack. 17. Another hit. High-low. 2. Kef, Druk's scout, shrieks in glee as she thrusts her spear through a bandit's throat. The party. Mara checks her strength. 6. No luck. Remember that dice I rolled before combat? I rolled a 4. That was how many rounds it would take before the combat was interrupted. Let's see what the interruption is. The battle was in full flow. Cries of anger and pain echoed around the old chapel as the unarmed party watched helplessly, unable to get past the melee to escape. Druk hacked and slashed, his face drawn into a furious snarl, whilst Bargeld fought off goblins like a man possessed. Then, a great silence filled the room, sucking the noise away like water down a drain. The fighting combatants reacted very differently. The cultists drew back at the change in atmosphere, turned, and kneeled down, their foreheads touching the flagstones. Meanwhile, the goblins did nothing. To the party's astonishment, the creatures had completely frozen in place, their limbs lifted in the act of striking with their weapons. No, they weren't completely frozen. Mara noticed, amidst her shock, that the goblins still breathed, and their eyes were moving, but otherwise they seemed to be paralysed. What had happened? The answer came quickly enough. Out of the darkness of the tunnel entrance, a dark shape coalesced, revealing a tall, incredibly thin figure, shrouded in a grey hooded cloak. Its features were barely hinted at in the flickering light of the braziers.
"This foolishness stops now,"
it said, in a spidery voice that felt both far away and too close at the same time.
"Druk,"
it continued, addressing the unmoving hobgoblin.
"You test my patience. You were hired to bring living specimens to me. I do not wish to work with your leftover scraps. You may feast on these."
It pointed to the corpses of the two killed cultists.
"But none of my specimens belong to you. If you disobey me again, I will extend my experiments to you and your kind. Do you understand me?"
Druk managed to grunt out a response from his locked jaws. The figure nodded, seemingly placated.
"Good. You will be freed in 10 minutes. And I do not wish to hear from you again this day."
Then it strode over to Bargeld. It cupped his chin in its hand almost tenderly, and studied his adoring face for a few seconds.
"Bargeld, you have done well,"
it said.
"Bring these new samples to my workroom. I have questions to ask this one."
At this, it looked at Elmander.
"Aye, master."
Bargeld and his men climbed back to their feet and turned their attention to the party members. They were pulled up and Killia's hands were rebound. The cultists marched them back out of the chamber and into the inky black tunnels. The figure watched them go. Then it turned its attention to the prisoners, who had spent the combat cowering at the back of their cell. It drew its hood, revealing a pale, bald head, with a pointed nose, thin chin, and large, almost black eyes.
"I'll see you soon,"
said Lucan. Thank you for listening to Stories from the First Watch. I'd like to thank two new voice actors who have joined for this episode. Playing the fanatical Captain Bargeld is Robert Wade, and taking on the role of Master Lucan, the mastermind behind the occupation of Caramund, is Nuala Motel-Casey. The party narrowly avoided death at the hands of the goblins, but will an even worse fate befall them? Join me to find out next time on Stories from the First Watch.